Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee. The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We're going to keep this draft conversation going, draft interviews. We have a few guys today that if you watch, you'll see that they're really, really good fits for the Titans. So we had to bring them on. We got Cincinnati receiver Tyler Scott. Speed kills. That's what they say. And he brings that in spades. He was a junior Olympic track runner, a guy who showed his speed every Saturday, on some Thursdays as well on the football field. So we'll get into that with Tyler Scott. We got Run TMC going for sure. I think it's going to be time to talk backup quarterbacks and receiving options with Forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders. But first things first, we got a guy out of Oklahoma that would be an excellent compliment to Derrick Henry. And we're going to get into that with him. We're going to lead this off today with Oklahoma running back Eric Gray. Check this out.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear how that beat is coming? That's how our next guest comes on game day. This is a running back that I feel would be a perfect match for the Titans. Whether or not they trade Derrick Henry or keep him, this running back, Eric Gray out of Oklahoma, would be a perfect complement, a perfect option for the Titans. So let's welcome him in, man. Eric, what's going on?
Man, not that much. I appreciate y'all having me on the show. It's great to be here.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you coming on. And obviously, this is a Nashville-based show. Memphis, being a fellow Tennessee city, got to shout you out on that. 2017 and 2018 Gatorade Tennessee Football Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your high school days, man. How did everything work out there? What made you able to excel to that level?
Coming into high school, I had very big goals for myself. You know, I wanted to win Gatorade Player of the Year. I wanted to be the three-time Mr. Football. I wanted to etch my name in history and leave that legacy that I eventually did. So I had some big goals.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And running back, it seems like that's the family business, huh? You know, your pops played running back at TSU. Your uncle was a running back at Ohio State. How much did having them in your life kind of influence you to play the position as well?
Definitely later on in life, because growing up, I played quarterback my whole life. My dad had me play quarterback then my whole life until around eighth grade is when I started kind of playing running back. So once I got to that level, it was good to be able to lean on them for tips and tricks to play in a position to be successful at that position.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Then you ended up at Tennessee. The experience there, I mean, you had your best game, the Vanderbilt game. I mean, you didn't have to do us in Nashville that way, but you did. It's all gravy. But so at Tennessee and then moving to Oklahoma, what was behind that shift for you, Eric?
So going to Tennessee, I fell in love with Coach Pruitt and the Tennessee program. Mm-hmm. I went to Tennessee because, you know, I had offers from the Alabamas of the world, but I didn't want to really play for those teams. I wanted to be the team to beat those teams. And I felt like Tennessee had that ability to beat. I had a chance to play early at Tennessee. So that's why I ultimately chose Tennessee. Had two good years there. After the 2020 season, everybody gets fired. Coach Pruitt leaves. All of the guys that I went there for, they left. So I kind of just didn't know the future of the program. It was COVID. A lot of things were unknown at the time. We didn't really know what was going on. So me and my family felt that it was time to kind of have a future. Was there in Oklahoma. Fell in love with the offensive one that's DeMarco Murray. You know, him playing. Another Tennessee Titan guy played at Titans. I feel like DeMarco to help me a lot as a player and transform my game into that pro level.
What were some of the things you learned from DeMarco Murray?
DeMarco taught me the most key thing I learned from DeMarco, the most important thing I think is being a pro every day. Huh. That you have to be on in the league every single day, no matter what's going on. Everybody's tired. Everybody has something going on. But you have to be able to take that and be able to produce and provide results every single day.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I know we'll get into it a bit later the Senior Bowl. I know that's something that you really exemplified, and that's why you know you were one of the offensive players of the week there. But staying there at Oklahoma, as you began to kind of settle in there, obviously you had to move with you know Lincoln Riley going to another program. What was it that kept you at Oklahoma after that switch?
Definitely DeMarco, and I fell in love with Coach B and Coach Lebby.
Okay.
You know, from the first time there, I knew DeMarco was staying, so I had that connection there. But I wanted to get a feel for Coach Venables and Coach Lebby. I felt like Coach Lebby assured me from the jump of the offensive scheme, talked to me about it, told me how important I was going to be in this game, allowing me to catch the ball out of the backfield, allowing me to really showcase my talents in space. And really show that I was a runner as well as a pass catcher in this offense. Coach B, I love his passion from day one. From the first meeting we had, I knew he was passionate about the game, and that was a coach that I wanted to play for.
Yeah, that's what's up. And we're talking to Eric Gray, Oklahoma running back. And you mentioned the pass catching side of things. That is something that you do well, and that's why I really think you would be a fit here in Nashville with the Titans. Is that something that just kind of came naturally, or where did that pass-catching ability develop? Because, you know, you run really good routes. You catch the ball naturally. So how did you get that type of ability?
So it's funny. In high school, before I started going to – when I used to go to a lot of camps, I used to go as receiver. Hmm. I wasn't comfortable going to a camp at running back yet until later on. So early on around 9th and 10th grade, really 9th grade, I used to go to camps as a receiver. So I feel like that helped me a lot, just going through those receiver drills. You know, that helped me a lot, catch the ball naturally. I was always a great catcher, but that helped me a lot doing that, being a running back catching the ball. Now it's just a little easier because you're not going against DBs, you're going against linebackers. And I feel like if you look at today's game, you look at the guys who are getting, they are have that ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and be that added bonus to an offense.
Right, and also along those terms, you have to be able to take on blitz and linebackers. I know that's something that you got to do on one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, but it even, like, it flashed at times on tape. Like, the Kansas Kansas State game, that's one of the ones I watched, and I saw you take on a couple times where you didn't blow him over, but you moved him out of the way and made sure he didn't get to the quarterback. How much does that, like, having to want to be able to do that, how much does that go into actually executing?
Pass protection is all about 1-2. Once you have your base right, you have your hands up, the rest of it is on you, the rest of it is 1-2. It's a fist fight from there. You're just fighting allowing enough time to get let the quarterback get the ball out. That's all it is. Once you got the base right and the technique right, then it's just 1-2 from there. It's a fist fight from there. Because once you got that right, it's just mano a mano, you moving him out of the way so the quarterback can throw the ball.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, right? You can't be afraid to stick your nose in there and take them on, and that's something that you bring. Another quality, right, in watch the elusiveness. I don't know if you played there's all different types of ways that people explain this game. We used to just call it throw it up and get them, where it's, you throw the football up, you catch it, and you got to get around everybody from one end zone to the other. Did you play that a lot because you're a very elusive football player?
100%. We called it pick up and run. That's what we called it.
Yeah.
Pick up and run. Everybody plays that, I feel like. And having my dad being a running back coach my whole life, he definitely worked with me on, you know what I'm saying, cutting around cones of making things miss in the house, being young, just running around the house, cutting around. When I got older, you know, going outside and having cones, having bats, just practicing. He calls it a tool belt, having those attributes in your tool belt. So when you need to use them, they're right there for you.
And then what about the patience in your rushing style? Because I saw, like, even like the West Virginia game, there were a few times where, you know, like you approach the line, you let your left tackle, he kind of pulled around and he led the way for you, but you had to allow that to develop. That patience, Eric, how do you get that patience?
I think that is something I've learned, you know, playing college ball. You know what I'm saying? A lot of when you're playing in high school to college, it's that patience that you have to have. You have to understand that you don't have to hit every hole so fast. You have to allow your blocks to set up for you. That's what allows you to be an elite-level running back. Once you allow your blocks to set up for you, that's when you get those big runs and you're not running into the back of your lineman. You're allowing them to get on your blocks. If you think about inside zone and you got a double team to a backer, if you allow that double team to get to that backer, it's just you and the safety, and it allows your runs to be easier. It allows you to play faster.
No doubt. I think when you look at everything come together, right, you get to the Senior Bowl, and that's when you show, like, all these qualities that we talked about. That's when we really got to see that even on a higher scale there, going against other top-level players. What was that experience for you like at the Senior Bowl?
It was a great experience. That's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to go out there versus the top guys in the country and prove that I can do the same thing versus the top guys in the country. I wanted to go out there and show that Eric Gray could do it all. He's a three-down back. He can do it on all downs. He can do everything you need to do in your offense to give you that added bonus. I wanted to show the scouts. That was kind of my first time to get in front of all of the scouts of all 32 teams and show that Eric Gray was the top guy.
And you were in front of all of them. All of the teams spoke to you just like they do at the Senior Bowl. What's the feedback you got from them?
A lot of great feedback saying that I was a great player, going to play a long time in this league. A lot of you look at where the league is going. You look at Alvin Kamara. You look at Christian McCaffrey. Those guys are similar to me with catching the ball out of the backfield, patient runners, elusive runners. That's where the game is going. Those are the guys who are getting paid a lot at this position.
And we talked about different attributes and things that you bring to the table, but for you to explain yourself as a prospect, like, how would you explain yourself as a running back?
I would say making people miss in the open field, catching the ball out of the backfield, and being an every down back.
So three down back, that'll summarize it right there. Combine experience, how was that for you? I know you go through the process, crazy questions, all of the things that, the medicals, all of that. How did that work for you?
Dream come true. The combine was a dream come true. You know, it's long days there, but it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, dreaming about going to the combine, been watching the combine for as long as I've been playing. For as long as I've been playing ball, I've been watching the combine every single year. Really enjoyed it, though. You know, they say the medicals are a long day. The interviews are a long day. But I just kind of took it day by day, saying that this is what I hoped for. This is what I was praying for, to be here. So I really enjoyed every moment of it.
And what's next for you? What do you have? When's your pro day? What are you looking to do there? What's next for Eric Gray?
So working out right now, next pro day is March 30th. Going out there once again, the last time on the turf, showcase everything, whatever they want me to do. Just going out there and showing that Eric Gray is the top guy. That's my MO, trying to show that Eric Gray is the top guy.
Absolutely. And you're working out at Exos?
Exos, yes.
Which facility are you at?
Frisco.
Ah, see, with my guy, man, Brent Callaway.
Yeah, BC, that's my guy.
Yeah, no, he's great people. So I know you're getting trained up exactly how you need to be. You're going to run there the 40 and everything, or what are you looking to do?
Yes, I will run the 40 at Pro Day.
Awesome. Well, hey, Eric, I appreciate you coming on, man. I like I said, you're one of the guys I say, look, this team needs to look for. So definitely good to talk shop with you.
Man, I appreciate that. Nashville will be amazing right there by Memphis.
That, no doubt.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, DMT. For you. Fresh.
Strings. Ooh. That music's fading. Lights dim. We don't go to the garden. And now, coming to you live from Madison Square Garden at shooting guard for your New York Knicks out of Washington, number 4, Nate Robinson.
And now, as starring as Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy.
What the five fingers say to the face? Slap.
Dude, they look just alike, man. Yeah, oh, man. They both hilarious, too. They're great comedians, funny, man, very intelligent. But, man, you look just like that dude, man. I mean, yeah. Like twins.
Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy.
I know, man. Rest in peace. How you doing, man? What's cracking, like, since that much football ain't going on? What's good with you?
Hey, man, fresh back from these owners meetings.
How was it, man?
It was actually my first time out there. Great, man. They put on an awesome, just not even show, just like the facility, everything. It was really good. Set up really well.
Nice.
Ran into, you know, different Titans folks. Got to talk to Coach Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
So I was happy about that. Yeah, man, it was really good. So
that's what's up.
Definitely got to get the off the field side of things, you know, get a little bit better perspective on this Titans team. It's really going to be interesting. And
how do you feel about it now?
Well, that's one of the things I want to get into is the quarterback position. And obviously, Ryan Tannehill is the guy. I got that even stronger from being out there talking to different folks. But the backup position, I mean. There's not really much to choose from when you talk about veterans. Now, this rookie class is interesting, but, I mean, do you draft a guy and he instantly leapfrog Malik Willis as the backup? Right now, it looks like Willis is going to be the backup.
But I think they need to give him a chance, though, TD. I mean, I know last year was a little different, and I think that we shouldn't judge it for what happened last year because he came into a situation to where he didn't have a chance to learn. You know, you automatically put him at the second position, and all of a sudden, you know, the offensive line is struggling, and you got receivers that are consistently being hurt. So we can't evaluate him with that. So I think that this year he's been talking to a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of veteran quarterbacks, to kind of get a good feel of the game. And I think he's going to be a different player than last year because he's learning, he's understanding defense, he's understanding, you know, what to do in different coverages. So let's give him a chance. Give him a chance to be second. But also I think that if you have some of these guys we may name later on in the show – that maybe sit in the fourth or fifth round, you do take a quarterback and create some competition.
Yeah, I think you do at some point look at taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
What gives you reason to believe that Willis could be the backup? I'm not challenging, I'm asking your perspective.
You know, I mean, just athletically, I think he's got some tools. I mean, because the thing about it is he has a lot of potential. I mean, and we can see that because last year he was supposed to go in the first round. I know he dropped to the third round, but people were looking at him as a first-round draft pick, you know, at the beginning of the draft. So there's some potential there. So if there's some potential there, you got to build on that position and develop the player. And I think right now, you know, I don't think the coaches should give up on him and start drafting all these quarterbacks and this and that. Give him a chance. Give him a chance to develop and let him feel comfortable and play confidence to try to, you know, come out and make some plays this year.
Yeah, I believe that. Who are some guys? Do you have any veterans that you think are available that would help?
I mean, all the guys that I thought that could come in, I mean, you know, Garoppolo's gone. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, Baker Mayfield's gone, Bridgewater. So I just don't think anybody's out there that can come in and, you know, really be a better asset than Willis. I mean, I just don't. I mean, there's nobody out there. So I think that, you know, in the draft, they may get somebody in the third or fourth round. And I'm going to kind of get on Derek Mason a little bit because he said a name a couple of days. He said Stenson Bennett from Georgia, 5'11", 190. I could see them maybe getting him in the fourth or fifth round because he can come and compete against Willis.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that he has going for him is that whole idea of a very experienced college quarterback.
Yeah, right? and he's 30 years old, ain't he?
You roll that into the Brock Purdy situation.
Right.
But I tell you what, if you look at veterans, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is available.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put the name out there.
Yeah.
Do you roll the dice on a Carson Wentz or on a $3 or $4 million deal? Do you do that?
The reason why I would maybe bring like a Carson Wentz in is because you want to, and I say this in a respectful way, you want to make sure the locker room is in unison. And if the knock on Wentz is he doesn't get along with his players, he doesn't lead well. So why would you bring a guy in a locker room that has semi unified? I know there's going to be different faces in there, but why would you bring a guy in there that's to himself and just focuses on himself and not wanting to build a team? Now, I can see maybe Bridgewater, but the only thing that Bridgewater that I'm concerned about is he's consistently hurt. I mean, you know, he had the knee and, you know, had different situations going on. So you want to get a guy in here, you know, maybe get somebody in the draft that can come in and compete for the second position. But if the later cuts come out later on and a good veteran quarterback is out there, then maybe you take a chance in that aspect.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that with Carson Wentz because, frankly, that's what happened in Philly. That locker room was divided. Now, obviously, different circumstance. Wentz was coming off an MVP caliber year, right?
And
Nick Foles was there. But it was literally the locker room was divided. So
yeah,
that's a
that.
Good point you bring up there. Stetson Bennett is interesting. But I tell you, if you're going to look at a guy like that, like I personally, I think Dorian Thompson-Robinson is.
Boy, what you said.
DTR, you know. Yes. And everybody goes off of these measurables, right? They say, oh, well, his arm is strong. He threw a football 62 miles an hour. That was stronger than Anthony Richardson.
Yep,
stronger
absolutely.
Than Will Levis. Stronger than Stroud. Anyone up, Bryce Young, all the guys. Now, I'm not saying he's a better quarterback, but he is a guy, and you saw what he did in the Shrine Week, the practices, and also in the game. He's a guy, if I'm looking at getting a veteran quarterback that I think could come in and challenge Willis for the backup without using a premium pick, that's the guy I go to.
You said Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA?
Yes, sir.
Man, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's interesting to me, TD. Let me tell you what this cat does. This his year. He had 88 TDs over his career, but guess what? He ran for 28 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good athlete. He's elusive. He's a talented passer. But the only thing that kind of concerns me a little bit about him is his skinny frame.
Mm.
You know, his frame. Can he handle the punishment? That's the same thing, you know, that they're saying with Bryce Young. But at the end of the day, if you're a playmaker, you make plays, and you're a dual threat, you can come in and help the Tennessee Titans. That maybe they can help Tannehill just in case he gets hurt. That's one of the guys that I definitely have on my list, Dorian, DTR from UCLA.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Great what you said.
DTR is a weapon. But
what
about the guys that he's thrown to? And, I mean, look, he's 6'2", 203. So,
yep.
I mean, it's you're right, his frame, because if you look at him, like especially seeing him in person, like he doesn't have the bulky frame that you want to have, you know, as a quarterback back there. But still, I think he'll be okay. But he has to throw the ball to guys, right? And so you look at the guys that whoever is quarterback, should Tannehill, you know, not be available, it's kind of limited.
It
now,
is.
Now, do you do anything veteran free agent-wise at this point?
At receivers, I mean, who's out there? I mean, all the guys are gone. Lazard's gone. You know, Harsman's gone from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers is gone. I mean, what else do you have? I mean, you could go and get somebody, but he'll just be another guy. I mean, on the Tennessee Titans roster, you have Traylon Burks, you have Kyle Phillips, you have Racy McMath. They're going to have to go in the draft and get somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you're limited to what you have in the room. I'm not saying that those three guys can't make plays, but we know the track record a little bit with Traylon Burks. He kind of, you know, he gets hurt or, you know, sometimes a little inconsistent. So we got to find somebody to compliment him because he's going to get double coverage. But the one guy that I kind of like, he's kind of small, but I like what he does, is Tank Dell from Houston.
Yeah.
5'10", 165. He's not big. He's not one of those guys that's going to jump over somebody. When he catches those choice routes, buddy, and he runs a little skinny, those little seams, he's got that, what you said, those pickup shoes?
Get somewhere shoes. Yeah, he definitely. He has to get somewhere shoes in and out of the breaks.
That's what I'm talking about. Absolutely.
He's that prototypical modern day receiver, as far as, like, you know how they do all these different drills and they incorporate basketball into, you know, crossover and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of it. I'm just. That's what they do now.
Yeah.
You know, you see that more. So he is somebody. Now, you mentioned some veterans, just to scale it back before we go into a couple other rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this team is dying for speed.
Yeah.
There's three guys, well, two, and one veteran, I think, just would be a good presence. And there's one. So I'll start off with DeAndre Carter. He signed a deal, I believe it was with the Raiders.
Uh-huh.
I thought he's someone that they should look at because he gives you an experienced and very potent returner. So you have him, but he's gone. That's okay.
Yeah.
Olamide Zaccheaus is a guy from Atlanta I thought would be an option. Now, we had him on Talking with TD 4 years ago. He was coming out of Virginia, very dangerous receiver. Ran some slot, but he played on the outside also. He's still available, and I don't think it would cost a lot. And also, he's coming out of the similar scheme to what the Titans will run, you know, having played for Arthur Smith. But two other guys, from a speed perspective, Justin Watson at University of Penn. This guy was a 200 runner. And he burnt one of, I forget which Titan he burnt, but he burned for like a 35-yarder this year.
Right.
He was with the Chiefs. So that's somebody, he is available.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'll round it out, and this guy isn't someone that will be a speed option, but he's someone that just gives you a consistent veteran. You know, he's going to give you 40 to 50 catches, mm-hmm. 500 yards, one or two touchdowns, and that's DeMarcus Robinson.
He was
with the Ravens, the Chiefs before then. So those are a few guys. But now rookie-wise, mm-hmm. there's someone I want to talk to you about, and his pro day is you know, on March 30th, and that's Tyler Scott.
Yeah, I like him.
Really like him out of Cincinnati. We had him. We're going to have him on the show today. He's a track guy that plays football. But if you ask him, he's a football player that runs track. That's the better way to explain it. What are your thoughts on him?
That, you know, when I first came out of The Ohio State University, they were saying that I was a track guy playing football. And can I be honest with you, TD?
Pissed you off.
That would piss me off. Yeah. And I don't even like to use that word, but it would piss me off. To say, basically what you're saying is I'm fast and I can't catch. Man, get out of here. So you don't think that he's hearing that? Definitely, he's got to improve on some routes. He's got to improve on some things. But that's why you bring this cat in here. Bring him in here, let him develop, and he can take the top off the defense, man. And the thing about it is, you know, when he gets to the league, he's going to have to transition his way to get in and out of the cuts because he's carrying so much speed in the break. But when you're talking about running a post, running a go route, or catching a comeback and getting a guy in his backfield, maybe these are one of the guys that can come in and be one of your speed guys and then draft, you know, some other guys in a draft.
Yeah, I think he could be a really good option.
Yeah.
And I want to get into just transferring the track speed to the football field because you watch him.
That's the key.
It's not just deep routes. You know, you see him running a slant and he catches it and he turns that up. But the thing that really appeals to me about him is the easy speed he has.
Yeah.
He hits that gear quickly. It's kind of like when you ran up on, which one was that? Was that Ashley Ambrose?
I beat the brakes off him.
on the go route?
And against Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I ate his lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me that.
And that's what you got to have. Like, yeah. And that's an example of easy guess because within like 10 yards, like, you were even. And you know what happens.
But here's the thing. When I was at Ohio State, we had a lot of defensive backs that ran 4-3 and actually 4-2. You got Sean Springs.
Mm.
That Sean Springs was a dog. He was nasty and jammed into the line of scrimmage.
And
he can run with you.
Yep.
So he ran a 4-3, like a 4-3 low in his individual workout. So when we get press coverage and I got to run a go route, for the first 30 yards, he's with me. But then when it's time to go get that ball, when the quarterback throws it out there and I got to go get it, that's when I started to separate myself. And instead of him being close and being in my hip pocket, I'm 2 yards in front of her because I have that second gear. And that's the kind of guy that the Tennessee Titans need that has that second gear to go get that thing.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Jalen Hyatt is another one that,
yeah.
I mean, if he's there at 41, I think you really look at taking him.
You know who I like too? I like Josh Downs from UNC.
Route technician.
Routes, man. Quick, elusive.
Route
95
technician.
Catches last year.
Yeah.
Gets off the press.
That's what
you need.
I know it was against air, but did you see his routes at UNC Pro Day?
Man.
Yeah.
Man.
Razor.
Man. Come on, get up out of there.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. So there's a lot of options, and we're going to keep rolling through this. I think the receiver position after, you know, what they did and didn't do in free agency, that receiver position is one that just kind of gets elevated up the charts. But it's also at 11. I don't take any of these receivers at 11, but if they could trade back, you know, that opens things up. Then you look at a Quentin Johnston. You look at a Zay Flowers. You look at, you know, those types, a Jordan Addison, right?
Yep.
You know, you look at them. Oh, and by the way, speaking of the Ohio State.
Oh, Jackson, come on.
Listen, man, Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's another razor-sharp route runner, but
beautiful.
I'm going to go into a guy who happened to be running routes there. And they told Jordan Reed, ESPN's Jordan Reed, they said watching him was like going to a Lamborghini store and test driving next year's model that you can't buy yet.
Dude, I didn't know he was that big.
Yeah.
Dude, he's like, what, like 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, his mom must be tall or somewhere down the line. I know his uncle, no, one of his cousins, Tone, his cousin Tone played he was a point guard when I was at Cheney University. So I used to see Marvin Harrison on campus a lot. But his cousin
little,
Tone,
man.
Marv's like my size, maybe even smaller. His cousin Tone, though, is 6'2". So maybe, gets it from the Harrison side of it down the line. But, yeah, I mean, he's – that dude's legit.
Hey, what about Rasheed Rice from SMU, 6'3", 206?
You talk that, about – here's the thing, drop issues.
Drop,
concentration, drop issues.
And his routes are okay, but his hands – I got that his hands are suspect. Yeah. But – if you talk about speed, I mean, he's one of those cats that can get up and go get it, like you say.
Absolutely. So, man, it's going to be interesting. We'll keep talking about this. We'll have to get into something different than receivers next week.
We're receiver guys.
So we had to do it this week. But, yeah, we'll keep it rolling. Oh, and by the way.
Okay. I tried to beat you to it.
Listen, man.
Go ahead, man.
I ain't even going to do it.
No, man, I'm going to get you then.
Go ahead.
I was watching the Green Bay Packers, man. And I'm like, man, you know, me and my daughter's like, she's like, I love the Green Bay Packers. And we was watching, I think it was 1990-something. She's like, man, there's a guy there that looked like TD. I was like, that's Donald Driver. She's like, no, he looked like TD.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD. Cold world, baby, ain't
nothing sunny. I see him hating, but it ain't nothing. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to keep this thing rolling. Listen, folks, I talk about guys with speed. I talk about options that I think the Titans really need to look at, and this is one of them. We're going to bring in Cincinnati wide receiver Tyler Scott. Tyler, what's good, man?
What's going on?
Ain't nothing, man. I know you're a J. Cole fan. You know, I try to show I do some research and give you some theme music. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, but I wanted to get you on, man, because, you know, I love the way your speed shows on the football field. And I think when you look at a guy like yourself who's relatively new to the receiver position, you know, it impresses me the way you use that speed on the deep ball. Excuse me. So let's start out with that, because when you're running for the football, like when it's in the air, it seems like there's another gear that you hit. Your acceleration is different. But then also you do a good job of keeping your hands tucked, and then you throw them at the last second so you don't lose that speed going for the football. How did you develop that particular skill?
Yeah, well, I think with the first part, I think just really kind of understand. I want to say first off by thanking my coach at Cincinnati, who's now at Wisconsin, Coach Brown, who honestly, he was the biggest catalyst for, you know, helping me develop into the receiver that I am today. And so, you know, you talk about the first part and, you know, talk about that extra gear. You know, one thing I've kind of learned is that, you know, just kind of playing with a DB, you know, it's a mind game out there, you know, more than anything. And, you know, they'll feel my speed even when I'm not even sprinting. And so really, you know, that first, you know, 15-ish yards, it's not even, you know, a full-out sprint. You know, I'm gaining ground on them, but I still haven't hit that second gear. And usually I like to hit that second gear on the break. You know, so when I first come out, they can feel like they got a gauge for, you know, for how fast I'm running, you know, and then try to adjust to that. But they really haven't felt my true speed yet, if that makes sense, you know. And so – and then in the back half, the second part, just really running through the catch. You know, that's the biggest thing. And, you know, having late hands when you need to have late hands, and not putting them up too early, you know, for the defender to, you know, knock the ball away. And that's something that, you know, that we drilled, you know, every day, you know, working on, you know, over the shoulder catches and, you know, having late hands and things of that nature.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned running through the catch, because you normally don't think of that on the deep pass, right? You normally think of that on the slants, the digs, and those type of things, but that it makes total sense. But speaking of those slants, those digs, and those type, like the slants, right? You go back, what was it, the East Carolina game, I think it was, where you caught the slant, you housed it. So when it comes to that speed, like you're a track guy, but you also play football. Like, how are you able to transfer that speed, and especially that easy speed? Like, you got the easy gas, you hit top gear immediately. How are you able to transfer that to the football field?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, when you were talking to me before at the combine, you know, for me, it really started when I was a huge emphasis when I was in high school. You know, I played running back, you know, from when I was 8 all the way to, you know, my senior year in high school. And so, you know, the biggest thing was, like I said, in football, getting the top speed fast. You know, that's kind of what separates, you know, like Tyreek Hill. You know, you can see him, he'll jump up in the air hit the ground, and then he'll cut off a DB's angle who's got a head start on him.
Yes.
You know, why? Because he can get the top speed so fast, you know. And so for me, like I said, it was indoor. Indoor was really – it was a sport that really helped me with that. You know, running the 60-meter dash, you had to learn how to get the top speed fast. You didn't have, you know, a whole 100 meters to, you know, work into, you know, a full-out sprint. So you had to really learn how to really drill – getting the top speed fast and exerting as much force as you can, as fast as you can. You know, and I made the, you know, the Usain Bolt allusion at the combine saying, you know, him, you know, you look at, you know, his back end half, you know, that's when he kind of takes over the race, and that's when he kind of, when he wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in that first 40 to 50 meters. So, I mean, you look at guys like, you know, like a Christian Coleman or Trevon Bellman, who, you know, are great Olympic track runners and Olympic sprinters. Those are the type of guys that will probably translate well as far as football speed because of their ability to get out the block so fast and so strong and so quick and so powerful. You know, you watch their races. I mean, they'll win the race within the first 50 meters because they're just so fast. And so that type of speed is what really translates, I think, to the football field.
Yeah, and it shows. And you mentioned at times not hitting top speed like right away, but there are times where you hit that top speed quickly. And that helps you set up some of the stuff underneath. How much does that speed help you do that?
No, definitely. Like I said, you guys know how to use it and when to use it. You don't have to always go full gear, full tilt all the time. You know, sometimes, like I said, you just running your regular speed, especially for a faster guy, that's already enough for a DB who may not be as fast, or you can just put pressure on them by making them feel it. And so then you can kind of play around with it a little bit and give them a little something, you know, in routes. Especially in, like, the run game. You know, in the run game, what I like to do is I like to kind of start off by, you know, if I have a play where I can kind of sprint out or I know the ball is going kind of the opposite direction on a run play, that's a time that you can try to gain information from a DB. And you can just kind of play with them a little bit. You can kind of see, okay, you know, how is he playing this, that, and the third. But I also like to take that time to kind of just let him feel my speed down the field. So I'll just take off and run right past him. You know, man, I may not be getting the ball. You know, it could be a run play, but I just want to run past them just so I can set the tone of, okay, this is the type of speed and the type of pace that the game is going to play. So maybe even the next play or a few plays after, he's like, okay, let me go ahead and take a step back so I can give him the respect, you know, because of his speed. And like I said, that just opens up, you know, a lot of that underneath game.
Yeah, I like the gathering information part and showing him, like putting him in panic mode, like letting him know, like, I will run by you. I like that. I like that. And we're talking to Cincinnati receiver Tyler Scott, and I'm not going to call you a speedster. I'm not going to call you that because you look at some of the games like Miami, Ohio, East Carolina. Again, you look at those games, and I see you running curls or running crossings, or those type of things, and you're going up and getting the football. How important is it for you to play bigger than what your actual measurables are?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is as a receiver, you got to catch the ball. You know, and finding ways to get open and catching the ball. And so just being able to be able to catch the ball whenever it's thrown in your facility, I think that's what separates, you know, a lot of these good receivers in today's game. You know, you look at like Jamar Chase's and, you know, Justin Jefferson, and even Tyreek Hill. Like Tyreek Hill is a great example of someone who is a shorter guy, but he plays bigger. He plays aggressive. He goes up and gets it, you know, which is why he's worth $20 million a year. So, you know, it's guys like that. You know, having that mentality, that's what separates the good receivers from the great receivers. And so, you know, that's just the number one important thing is just being able to catch the ball no matter where you're at, what vicinity. And honestly, you'll probably see an uptick as far as, you know, the value of the receiver and how much they'll be getting paid just because of, you know, the guys that are in the league today and showing, you know, you could have a subpar quarterback, but if you can get somebody who could throw the ball in just that general vicinity, and have a receiver that can make the play, that just brings so much more value now to the receiver position. To now, it's like we wouldn't even have to have, you know, a first-round pick quarterback. We just need somebody to get the ball in that area for a guy to make a catch.
Yeah, and go get it. And it's funny, you mentioned those guys you did. Another guy that does that, and I've seen comparisons, Tyler Lockett. Now, that's a name, you know, just in – looking at stuff about you, I've seen a lot of analysts make that comparison. Well, what do you think of that?
No, that's honest. That he's one of my favorite receivers to watch just because of his savviness. He's been doing it for such a long time. You know, he's such a great receiver, especially when it comes to that over-shoulder catch.
Mm-hmm.
You go and look at some of his film. I mean, you watch him catch some of these over-the-shoulder, over-the-head. Those catches, I mean, he does it so beautifully. And people don't really realize how hard that is to do, you know, especially when it's coming from one side of your body to the other and it's traveling at such a speed and you're having to track it, you know, across your body. Like, it's difficult. And just watching him and how easy he makes it look, and not just that part of the game, but even just his whole route tree, just understanding coverages, understanding when to sit in the soft zones, where the soft spots are, and even after the catch, where to spin out and where to turn out.
Yeah.
So comparison to him is huge, and it's honestly an honor.
And we're talking to Cincinnati receiver Tyler Scott. And Tyler, you mentioned the way he makes it look easy. And a lot of that comes down to the work that you put in. And I remember, like, I covered a couple games where the Titans played the Seahawks, and I remember being down on the field pregame and watching him, and he would actually have one of the coaches take a tennis ball and throw it, and he's catching it over the shoulder like that and tracking it and tapping the toes along the sideline. So it's the work that you put in. I'm glad you highlighted that he does. Now, for you, as a former running back, obviously – there's a lot of yards after catch ability, but how did that transition go for you going from running back to receiver?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, you don't see as many guys, you know, in a box because, you know, playing running back in high school, I've seen about 8 guys in a box. So, you know, I transitioned to receiver. You're only looking at about 2 or 3 people now. You know, you're looking at kind of just a small triangle of the corner, the safety, and the nickel. And so, you know, it's your eyes, you're looking at something completely differently, you know? And so, I think that was probably the biggest difference there. And I think honestly what helped me translate as far as, you know, you mentioned yards at the catch, just kind of feeling where the defenders are, just having kind of just a sense, you know, that you get from running back and cause you know, running is, you know, playing running back is really, instinctive. And so, you know, now catching the ball out there, there's not as many people, as before when I was in high school, you see about, you know, 3 or 4 guys around you. Now you catch it, you know, you may see 1 or 2. And so it just feels like it's just so much more space out there. Now you feel like you can have a plan, you know, for attack and that also comes from watching film, but just kind of knowing when you catch it, kind of where to go and just kind of filling defenders and just being able to bounce off and, you know, make certain moves that you know worked when you were running back.
Yeah, and you look at the things that you've done, Tyler. We're talking about 10 out of 14 touchdowns. 30 or more yards. I mean, you got a couple of 70 pieces on there. You know what I mean? And the big play-making ability is obviously there. We didn't get to see you line up in the slot pretty much ever for the most part. Most of the time you're winning outside. What allows you to win on the outside as a guy who is, you know, 5'10"?
Yeah, well, I think just being a reliable receiver. You know, and also even having, you know, a lot of great guys, you know, in my tenure of playing at Cincinnati, you know, you had Alec Pierce, you had Ron Ford, you had Josh Wiley, you had Deshaun Jackson, you had Trey Tucker. I mean, you know, you have such great pieces around you that it's hard to just account for one. And so, you know, especially my sophomore year, just being a reliable target, you know, it was games last year where I would have, or my sophomore year, I would have, you know, one catch, you know, one touchdown. You know, that was kind of my stat line for the game. You know, that was all that was called for me. And so, you know, just being able to make opportunities when they present yourself and come your way. And, you know, especially at Cincinnati with our offense, we liked a lot of quick games. We liked running RPOs. We liked taking a lot of what we call free access to the outside. So when the corner's playing off and soft, and you could just run a quick little 5-yard hitch, catching the vertical, you know, those type of things, that opens up, you know, a lot of the deep game because then you can get the defense to kind of come up now. You get them, you know, really playing some of those quick passes. Now that just opens up a lot of things and, you know, just kind of gets them on his, you know, gets them flat-footed. So now when you want to pass them, you've kind of already set them up throughout the process of the game. So just a lot of different opportunities I try to take advantage of.
And when you roll it to the combine, obviously, you know, a guy like yourself, big playmaker like this, how did the feedback, like I know teams were speaking to you, how did the feedback go with some of your meetings?
Yeah, well, I think honestly, I mean, first starting off the field, I mean, everyone just kind of, you know, just talked about how, you know, how many good things Cincinnati had to say and just how when I walked, you know, when they walked through the halls and talked to everyone there, you know, it was never one bad word. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to pride in those things and just being a man of faith. you know, that I am, and just carrying myself in a presentable way, you know, because you never know who you walk across or come across. So, you know, that's something that was kind of the theme there that, you know, you talked to a lot of different teams. It was just my character, you know, just being a good man, just being, you know, the person that I am. So, you know, that was that. And then, you know, you also, of course, everyone just talks about, you know, my big play, my speed ability, you know, and just my ability to kind of change direction and kind of manipulate DBs, which, you know, for me, of course, you know, I'm known as a speed guy, but I didn't want to just be known as just a guy that could just run past people, but a guy that knew how to get open, you know. Just because you're fast doesn't mean you're a deep threat or know how to get open, you know what I'm saying? And so for me, like I said, I try to take pride in just being able to perfect my craft. And like I said, I give a lot of credit to Coach Mike Brown at now Wisconsin for just helping me develop that that part of my game and not just being a speed guy, but also being able to kind of tap inside the mind of the DB and to make him think one thing but actually be doing another. So, you know, that was something that was pointed out. And then lastly, my special teams, my production on special teams. I played my sophomore year, I played gunner, rushed off the edge on punt block. I was off returner while starting at, you know, outside receiver, you know. And then I also did the same my junior year. So just having the impact that I did my sophomore year, just trying to carry it over to my junior year was huge. And, you know, both Trey Tucker and I, like you talked to him, we took pride in punt, you know. And so our 2 years that we started at punt, we had the top five net punt for 2 years. So we took pride in that.
Yeah, that's what's up. I mean, you said you're working at House of Athlete, right? That's where you're working out?
Yep, House of Athlete.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So you're with Yo Murphy, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You're down mm-hmm. there with Andre Yosevas, right? You save us,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a nice group. So you look at the DBs you're getting to go against, Julius Brent, Juju. You look at Tyreek Stevenson. These are longer corners. Mm-hmm. When you're going against those guys, you know, especially a guy like Brent, who is outstanding with press, like, how do you attack that?
You can't play at the line. That's the number one thing. You can't play around at the line. You can't give him, you know, your shoulders. You can't give him your chest. You know, you just got to go. One move and go. You got to be aggressive, you know, because those guys like to get your hand, you know, like to get hands on, and, you know, that's where they make the money at. So, really, just trying to be a step ahead of the game and just always expecting contact. And then just having a plan at the line of, okay, I'm about to just go, you know, get these guys on their heels and just have a plan of attack just to go. You can't spend too much time playing around at the line. You know, that's something I had to deal with when I was at Cincinnati going against Ahmad Gardner. You know, you go against him, you know, he, you know, in the boundary, especially he played the boundary in college. So if you make one wrong move or step, you're ending up in the sideline. And so, you know, I kind of learned, you know, going against him, you know, multiple times, like, you just had to go. You just had to pick a move and go, be physical, and, you know, be quick.
I love it. And before we get you out of here, man, I asked Trey, and, cause, you know, both of you guys are track dudes, you know what I mean? And I asked Trey, and he said, well, you know, I'm the big brother. I'm the faster one. You guys race, you know, what happens?
So honestly, he's had my number for the past couple times, but I will say, you know, let me wake up feeling good. Usually it's, you know, it's the theme has usually been whoever wakes up feeling the best. And so, you know, so usually he's had my upper hand a couple times, but, I'll get my share in there as well.
All right, you get a plus for humility. I give you that, man. It's always good to stay humble, right?
No, for sure.
Well, Tyler, I really appreciate it, man. You're one of the guys, like I said, you know, you talk about a need for speed on the outside. That's exactly why I think you matched the Titans. So hopefully we could get you seeing you play here on Sundays. I could watch you throughout the week also coming out to practice and making it happen.
Definitely. I would love that.
For sure. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you as well.
So you heard it right there, Tyler Scott. Pro Day, March 30th, looking to do a lot of things out there on the field. Like I said, folks, he's an excellent match. The Titans need a guy that could excel on the outside. And I tell you what, you know, that Tyler Lockett comparison that has been made, I think that really fits. And you see similar. Now, Lockett was a little bit swifter, more swift in and out of his routes and things like that. But
I mean, the big playmaking ability is there. So definitely appreciate Tyler Scott coming on, talking some shop. Shout out to Eric Gray, Oklahoma running back. He brings it, man. He's another fit. So that's what we try to do. I try to target guys who I think would be fits and bring them in. I mean, Chig Okonkwo, Nate Davis in the past. You look at some of these that we've had, and it's been good, man. Christian Fulton, we had him on before. A bunch of guys, man. A.J. Brown, we had him on, and you see the match there. So this is what we do, man. We look to project and try to do that accurately, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But shout out to David James over there making this thing work.
Yes, sir.
You know, this is the way it goes. So we're going to keep this thing rolling. But most importantly, shout out to each of you for tuning in. Make sure you check us out on everywhere that you listen to your fine podcast materials, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.